Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the show. We're going to get to one of my buddies, but really quickly, want to do some breaking news.
Breaking news.
And by the way, I think this is great news. I love great breaking news. Not for you, Kentucky. Scott Drew, according to our own Matt Norlander, has passed on Kentucky's job offer, will remain at Baylor. If you listen to the show, that you know, I've gotten to know Scott pretty well. I consider him a friend. Great guy. I've spent a lot of time in Waco with him over the years hanging. Great, great, great dude. That is awesome. That is awesome, Baylor. Congratulations. We'll hit more of that later. Let's talk to a guy who is one of my favorite people outside of Waco. Let's say that. Kurt Heelan, the man behind the NBA coverage that is excellent over at NBC Sports. A sometimes drinking buddy, but like all LA people, Kurt Heelan, good morning. I was just talking to another buddy of mine, and then another. All my friends who don't live in Manhattan Beach, which is where I live, we only hang out when we leave Los Angeles. That's the only time I see these guys, including well, you.
I'm not allowed in Manhattan Beach anymore after the incident in the 80s. So, you know.
Yeah. I think I saw your picture on a flyer, actually.
Yeah. Probably still up at the post office there, yeah.
Do not admit. All right, there's so many things to get into. Let me start at the end. Let me begin at the ending here, what I would normally ask you at the end, which is the MVP ballot, which are all coming due, and it's a little different format this year where we're going to get a note and then have like 30 seconds to fill it out or 17 hours or something like that. For me at least, and you, I know you're going to have your own view, for me at least, that guy in Denver is one. I know people are making a push for Luka. I find 2-5 to be brutal. Tom brought up the executive producer yesterday whether or not Anthony Edwards belongs on it. And then I had been thinking about that. I've been thinking about Jalen Brunson. I don't want to be a captain of the moment. Jason Tatum's the best player on clearly the best team. I mean, what the Thunder have done. How do you feel about considering guys like Anthony Edwards or Brunson on that ballot somewhere?
I'm not sure Edwards is there. I think Brunson is somebody I legitimately considered for the fifth spot. I will tell you, I'm with you now. I've come around. Look, to me, it's so close between Jokic and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but I'm going to vote Jokic 1, SGA 2, Doncic 3, and I think he has a very good case, and he's come on strong, but he just ends up third for me. I'm going with, by the way, Tatum in the fifth spot.
Are you? Yeah, that's the big question. Yep.
I get the Brunson argument because he's had to carry – if you're talking about value to a team, it's a legitimate case. It is a legitimate case for how much he's had to carry a load there, especially with, you know, Randall missing time and Mitchell Robinson missing time and OG Anunoby, you know, missing time. In terms of value to the team, it's a legitimate case, and maybe I'll flip between now and the end, but I'm going Tatum. I just think he's earned that spot.
And, Kurt Kuehlin on the show. Okay, so I get it, and I it's not easy. I'll just say this in defense of, I think the argument for Anthony Edwards is deflated a little bit after last night's game, because it sure looks like Denver's going to get the one seed. Now, there's still some games to go, but that's sure how it feels. But my thinking, Kurt, was if the Timberwolves had gotten the one seed with a defense is extraordinary, but a pretty inconsistent or not spectacular offense, and no Cat, and over the course of these games, Anthony Edwards has been the offense largely, and then whoever sort of shows up on any given night, and the fact that they're, and I don't have the record in front of me, but 13-6 or whatever it is, I don't know, that didn't sway you enough because it is also hard to leave Jason Tatum off, just because none of us would be allowed in Boston. There'd be physical safety concerns for those of us that didn't put Tatum on our ballot when we go to Boston.
And it feels like we're going to go there, because who in the East is challenging them right now? Right. Every other team seems to be falling apart. The other thing is, I feel like Edwards, and this is a step in maturity that we'll probably see, because I'm sure he will be on future ballots for me. It feels like he didn't take every game seriously. Like if it's a team they thought they could roll, and I don't think it's just him. I think this whole team had a vibe. Or if it's a team they thought they could roll, they weren't totally serious night in and night out, and that's why it's important for them to have somebody like Mike Conley on the team and Rudy Gobert and some veterans. I don't think they were as focused night in and night out as a team like Boston was this year.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. It's an interesting year. Kurt Kuehlin here on the show. Kurt, I've been singing the praises of the Warriors for a while now, and I'm sure you know this, but if you go back, if you sort of bookend Draymond Green's return to the starting lineup after his shenanigans, his second shenanigans of the year at the end of January, that Lakers game that they lost in double overtime, to the Lakers game the other night, which is a pretty big stretch of games. Over that stretch, the Warriors have the fifth best record in the NBA. They have a top 10 offense and defense. Defensive rating, I think, is fifth or sixth over that stretch. Their net rating is top five. Yesterday on his podcast, which I really think is really good, LeBron James with J.J. Redick talked about Steph in some detail and how they're always a threat with Steph. I know they have to get out of the play-in, and they could get to eight. I know that they have to avoid the Nuggets. I know that Draymond Green has dug them a gigantic hole, but have you come around to the idea, or am I alone on this, that if the Warriors are positioned properly in an actual playoff series, there's something I think that could happen there?
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. I was at the game the other night against the Lakers. It's a little bit of recency bias, because they always look good when not only is Klay Thompson hitting, and he, by the way, has found his groove again and has played. He's never going to quite be pre-injury Klay, but he's looked really good the last few games. But going back to the dynasty 2014, 2015, 2016 type of years, they always look good when Draymond's hitting his threes. When he was like 5 for 5 in the first half, you're like, yep, this is their night, right?
Yeah.
But I am with you that I think that they have finally, it took Steve Kerr, frankly, let alone the entire team, but I think Steve Kerr in particular longer to come around to the identity of leaning into some of the guys like Podziemski, like Jonathan Kuminga, and giving them larger roles. Chris Paul really helped settle that second unit and then has done it when he's been healthy. So I'm with you. If they can find a way to avoid Denver in the first round, assuming they get out, with all the caveats, I think they're more capable than like the Lakers right now of making a really deep playoff run.
So Kurt Kuehlin here on the show. Kurt, let me posit you another theory. And if you don't buy this, I want you to tell me, okay? I've been thinking a lot about this, and in fairness, it's not my idea. It's somebody I talked to around the league kind of put this in my brain. But in years past, even pre-play-in, if you were the 7 or the 8 or certainly the 9 or the 10, there would be normally a pretty serious gulf between your quality level and likelihood of success and the 2 or the 3 seed in the East or the West, and obviously the 1. I think my view is based on the CBA from many years ago, which was meant to create some parity, and it got stopped by Durant and sort of the weird reasons that Durant could go to a 73-win Warriors team under that system. My view is that there is a historical level of parity. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. Maybe I should say that the gulf and the distance between teams that are outside of Boston, maybe Denver, that are 2 or 1 or 3, and the teams that are 9 or 10 are historically narrow. And if you just sort of look at like what the Warriors' record would be if Draymond hadn't gotten suspended, assuming they won at the same clip, they'd be in the sixth seed, right? If you look at a couple injuries here or there, it's the difference for teams between being the seven or the four. I don't think there's that much difference in either conference, and certainly the West, between a 7-8-9 right now and a 2-3-4. I don't think there is that much difference. I think it's a pretty rare moment in the NBA. Do you share that view, or do you think it's just an anomaly this year?
I don't think it's not only, let me put it this way, well, it's a change. I think this is the future. I think this is what the CBA, this is what Adam Silver has wanted. This is what the last couple of CBAs, and the new one in particular with that, the second apron tax, really has strived to do. He has wanted to flatten the talent pool out a little bit. He didn't want it. He, unlike his predecessor, does not think having super teams is the best model for the NBA. To have, Miami, I guess Golden State certainly was one when they had Durant, right, where there's like, hey, this is the team you got to beat, and good luck, and that's the bar to shoot for. He's wanted this more almost NFL-style model, right, where the talent pool is much flatter. And the new CBA, Denver's kind of built for it as much as anybody. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get two stars that you can max out. A couple, if you build your team right, you can put good quality role players around them to about five or six deep. And then you're going to have to count on, man, we need Peyton Watson and Christian Brown to step up this year because the way the payroll is structured, we're not going to be able to pay. We're going to need guys on rookie deals to come through and really help. That's the new NBA. That's what this is going to look like going forward. And if you pile three stars together, hello, Phoenix, you don't have the depth to compete.
Yeah. By the way, let me add, I agree with everything you said. I love it. I think it's really good for the game. Kurt Heelan here on the show. Kurt, what's going to happen when Philly beats the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs? Kind of kidding as a question, but kind of actually not kidding. I mean, there's still time to go. And the Bucks. If I were anybody, I would want to avoid the two seed. But if Milwaukee plays the Sixers or the Heat, if Milwaukee loses in the first round of the playoffs, let me just say that. And I know Giannis is hurt, so that gives Doc even more cover to pretend it's someone else's fault. But what happens now? What happens next if the Milwaukee Bucks, after all the things that have happened in the last year for them, don't make it out of the first round of the playoffs?
Well, first off, whatever happens, it won't be Doc Rivers' fault if you ask Doc Rivers. You know that.
No, it's true.
It's funny. I was on, I don't want to say I'm cheating on you, Bill, but I was on, I did Milwaukee radio.
Hang up the phone.
Recently. And the host was like, so if ask this question, if they, flame out in the first round, Doc Rivers gets fired, right? And we get another coach. And I'm like, how many coaches do you think they're going to pay? Like, at some point, there would have to be some serious recriminations. They'd have to look at some stuff. But again, whatever you think of Doc, I don't think that completely falls on him. This roster they made very distinct roster decisions to go get Dame and let Drew Holiday go and kind of change the format of how they did things. I'm not, Doc got thrown in the middle of that, and I don't want to absolve him of everything, but he was handed a chopped basket of things that don't match up and told to make a meal. And he's doing, as well as I think he could at this point.
Oh, do you?
I'm not sure everybody there's buying in, but I don't know what was the better option. I don't know what they had wasn't working either. So, I don't want to totally absolve Doc here, but there would have to be some serious looks at this roster and how they have to tweak it. And by the way, Giannis is going to demand that, right? Like, he's not very subtle about his power anymore.
And he shouldn't be. And I'll add this, too. Maybe we're in the weeds here a little bit, but whatever. We're on Milwaukee, and I think Giannis is a huge story, and they're defending champions from a few years – not defending, but champions a couple years ago. I like the front office a lot. I know people in it. I like John Horst. But if Doc's not going to get blamed and the Bucks don't want to pay four coaches at once to coach that team, if I have that number right. It's hard to keep track. I think that is right.
It would be. Yeah, they're still paying Bud. I don't know how much longer, but they're still paying Bud right now. Yeah.
Crazy. And it is John Horst, the GM, he's the general manager from the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think the real point of issue, if you can also point to what you talked about, which is just moving on from Holiday and how they did it and Lillard. But the decision to hire Adrian Griffin in the offseason, last offseason, when a lot of coaches were available, has led to a lot of things, I would argue, now. Do you think that's a person? Because in a normal world, I'd say that's a person that's vulnerable. I am deeply skeptical, having talked to people, and I don't know, Kurt, but I'm deeply skeptical that John Horst, the GM, was out there pushing for Doc Rivers. I would, if you told me, and I've been trying to hear this from someone that would know, that Doc Rivers had managed above that general manager to a degree to get that job, I would believe that too. But maybe it's a front office problem in terms of change, if it's not a Doc Rivers problem, if the Bucks continue to fail.
Let's remember, Adrian Griffin also got hired in large part because Giannis wanted him, right? Like, that was that those choices, those coaching choices were made to keep a star happy, and he signed an extension, so it worked. Ultimately, everything they've done the last couple of years, however it's shaking out now, has absolutely worked for them because he signed. Right, he's staying in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's ultimately what they were trying to do. So now there's pressure, I think, on them to right this ship. They're not going to trade him this summer, but there's pressure on them to right this ship pretty quickly, right? Or he could advocate to be somewhere else if they don't. If they flame out in the first round again and things don't look good next year, so. I'm just saying that. I'm sorry, Milwaukee Bucks fan. It's the kind of the way the league works and the kind of the way he's pushing right now. But they've got him for a couple more years, so I they got that, and so I don't think Horst goes anywhere. But this is an old team, man. This is an old team. Chris Middleton's old and injured a lot. Obviously, Lillard's older. Brooke Lopez is older. They've got some real decisions to make about how they're going to compete with Boston that's not going anywhere, and the improving teams. I mean, Orlando's only going to get better, and you know, we could run down the list. New York is eventually going to get better and get a start. Like, there's some really good teams in the East that aren't going anywhere.
Kurt Heelan, will I see you again at the bar at the Marriott at the Combine in Chicago next month?
It does not look like I will be in Chicago next month, no.
Okay. I was 80-20 to go. Now I'm 60-40. Okay.
Yeah, well, you should know. Actually, it is a great event. You should absolutely go. For a variety of reasons, I travel budget discussions make great radio, but we can discuss it some other time. I will not be there.
They do make that. That's actually our C block later today. Oh, we don't do C blocks, yeah. And that's TV. Kurt Heelan, my friend, you're the best, dude. Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, anytime, buddy. Take care.
Hey, buddy. Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, NBA managing editor. Great guy. We've got another breaking news for you.
Breaking news.
According to O.J. Simpson's family, at 76 years old, O.J. Simpson has passed away after a battle with cancer. Look, here's what I'm going to do here. When I was a young newspaper intern at the Chicago Tribune, they made you do a lot of obits. It was part of the job. And something I learned about human nature is when someone dies, everybody wants to turn them into a saint. Because it's sad, right? And you talk about your own mortality, and you want to have some empathy. But by every account, O.J. Simpson was not a good man. And I'm not going to pretend that he was. Thoughts to his family, of course. It's a news story. O.J. Simpson has passed away. All right, let's do buy or sell here on the show next on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
My wife later was like, you pulled my school early for an appointment that was after. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, man. She's like, did you get the time wrong? I'm like, well, I knew what the time was. I just didn't know how to execute it. You know what the reservation is. Humbly, I'm a mess.
On CBS Sports Radio.
That reminds me that I do use the expression dude and man a lot. It's a habit from knowing no one's name over the years. My kid will come out of the bathroom like, what's up, little guy? Right? No, I know Henry's name. But I am bad with names. In my defense, by the way, I spent a huge chunk of my adult life with a little notebook in my pocket, writing everything down. So once you stop doing that, I can't remember your name. The other day, I was out with somebody who is an actual friend of mine. Someone I have been to their house. I forgot their name for 30 seconds. And there's so much in my brain right now. I just couldn't do it. So I heard that rejoin. I use man and dude a lot. And Lori, my wife Lori, I'll be like, whatever, man. And she will say, I'm not a man. So then if we're kind of, you know, marriage is peaks and valleys. I love my wife. But if we're, you know, if I decide the valley kind of looks fun, like I haven't been in the valley in a while, I'll throw in like, okay, sounds good, man. Right? No one talked about the fact there's some shade in the valley. Sometimes you just want the valley. A little space down there, right? Get some me time. Or you're going to see your parents in a while? That's a shame, man. No.
You're not supposed to want to visit the valley.
I don't want to live in the valley. I don't want to be there that much. But I need a little excursion. Hey, I'm going to go down to the valley for a minute, man.
I can't get out of the valley.
You live in the valley. It's better in the peaks. It really is.
So I hear.
Yeah, it's nice up there. This portion of the show is not brought to you by marriage counselors. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
I have a question for you, and I want you to you don't even have to comment. You can, but I want an honest answer. Buy or sell, it is good for this show. I'm not saying it's true. Just buy or sell, it's good for this show. How hilarious I find myself.
Buy.
Okay. I think that's debatable.
I think it's really good for the show.
I think it's quite. You think going down to the valleys, though, that may not be quite as good for me?
Yeah, I don't think that's a wise move.
Okay. Got it.
All right, Bill, let's get back to the breaking news that you started this hour with. Scott Drew, Baylor head coach, has been in Waco since 2003, and he has decided he is staying in Waco. According to multiple sources, Scott Drew has passed on an offer for the Kentucky job. So I ask you, Bill, buy or sell, Scott Drew made the right decision.
Buy.
Buy.
Yeah, I'm going to hammer this point home because I got nothing against Waco. It's fine. It's nice. It's a nice college town. No one chooses to go there on vacation, right? And that's true of where I'm from. I love Des Moines, Iowa. People don't go to vacation to Des Moines. I've spent 4 weeks of my life, or five, in Waco. All of it around that program. And Scott's the kind of guy. I don't think this is exclusive to me at all. It's not. If you're a reporter and you go down there, the guy treats you like family. And, you know, maybe some of that is tactical. But it's just, there's a genuineness. I've met his family. I've gone to lunch with him. Did you see he tweeted out, I think yesterday, a photo of him with some sponsor. I've been to that exact place with him. He just sits in the middle of a regular, people come by like, hey, what's up, Scott? And just the middle of Waco, right? It's home to him. And I guess I'm humble bragging or name dropping. I guess, maybe to do that. But also just to say, I have some, I feel like some perspective into his life in Waco in a way that I don't with many other coaches. Most coaches also move on, right? So you sort of lose that understanding. It sounds cheesy. He loves it there. It's home there. He built that thing. He built that program from ashes. I mean, what was done before, we don't have to focus, was so awful. So I love it for him, and I love it for Waco, and I love it for that community. And that kind of loyalty and class, it would have been wrong. It's not wrong if he would have gone to Kentucky. But I just, yeah, I think it's great for him. I think it's great for Baylor. He's already succeeding. It's not easy to move and succeed. I think it's awesome news.
A one quick follow-up there. If you're Kentucky, is Billy Donovan the next name?
So the tricky thing about Billy Donovan is I don't know him at all. So this is all speculation, unlike Scott Wirtz, actually, I actually know. But the MO on Donovan is laser focused and sort of honorable based on his code. And I think Chicago's been actually plucky in the last month. That's tailed off a little bit, but I don't think they're gonna do anything. But they're still in the mix, right? The playing mix, and so I think he's going to be hard to chase, if not impossible to chase, at this stage of things. I think he is absolutely the right coach. I just don't know if you can get him, and I'm not even sure you can have that conversation right now. And so that combination makes it, do you really want to wait? I mean, the play-ins are in a week. Let's say Chicago loses the 9-10. Best case scenario, you have to wait a week from today. Worst case scenario, you're talking 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know. That's a tricky one.
All right, but let's stay in college hoops and let's stay talking about head coaches. John Calipari was officially introduced in Fayetteville yesterday, and he had this lighthearted moment when addressing the media.
You know what? I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now I got to – Hunter's really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it is a little bit of everything, but we will. It may take a little longer.
I found that very funny.
Oh, dude, was my mic on? I almost lost it on the air there. That's – I already heard it like 6 times.
As you know, Bill Cal, of course, saying between kids declaring for the draft and who's coming and going in the transfer portal, his roster in Arkansas right now is a blank canvas. Bill, buy or sell this was a calculated move by Cal?
Buy. I mean, it's, yeah.
Buy. And
it's a good question. It's a really good question. Because he's trying to set expectations in a timeline that are different than he could ever have at Kentucky. Part of the reason he went to Arkansas was the opportunity not to be under the same pressure and the same timeline of pressure. And he's coming in and saying, we're going to win, we're not going to win right away. And he's trying to lower expectations. You know when they have these presidential debates and they always talk about lowering expectations and he won the debate because the expectations were so low. He's playing that game. But also, it is true. I think they have like one guy who's senior forward Lawson Blake. Who's basically like averaged 0.3 points and 0.3 rebounds per game. They have zero scholarship players. That's who he was talking about. You know where, when he met the team? Him and Lawson went for coffee.
I addressed the team. There is
Can
no
I just
team.
Say this again? Like, one of the things I love about doing this radio show, and there's not a lot I'm good at in this respect, maybe you could argue, but one of the things I think I do bring, and I would say that is maybe rare for this network or not as common as most of the people are East Coasters who have lived most of their life on the East Coast. I've lived everywhere. And I've spent 2 years of my life living in Arkansas. I love Arkansas. Arkansas is amazing. It is such a hidden gem. And Northwest Arkansas is awesome. And didn't the dude just look happy? I don't think it's just a job. It's actually he looked like there was a weight off his shoulders. He looked happy. And if he really is friends with the Tyson guy, the chicken billionaire or whatever, he's probably spent time there, and so he's probably aware of what I was until I moved there. It's a great place to live.
All right, Bill, let's do a little mix
here.
Can
I just buy or sell all the humble brags I'm just sneaking in today?
Buy.
Yeah?
I like them. You're not drawing attention to it. They're just sneaking them
in. All right, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to bring in that I look like a loser, but I'm a sneaky winner and everything.
Buy.
Okay? I'm not going to do it.
All right. Don't do it.
Not going to do it.
All right. I'm not telling you.
All right.
All right. Bill, let's do a little mix here of college hoops and NBA. Now, Bronny James has been in the news in recent days for a number of reasons. He's declared for the NBA draft, but he's keeping his college eligibility. But if he returns to college ball, he won't be playing at USC because he has also entered the transfer portal. But Warriors former All-Star Draymond Green says he's fully on board with Bronny declaring for the draft.
At worst, Bronny is an NBA-level defender that can knock a shot down. So at worst, he's a 3-and-D guy. Great. We got those all over the NBA. Can pressure the ball, can come in, at worst, be a backup point guard that can pick up full court, that can put pressure on another team's lead guard, whether that's their backup, whether that's their starting guard. He can come in and change the tempo on a defensive end. So at worst, he's a 3-and-D guy, and I definitely think Bronny will be a successful NBA player.
That sound courtesy of the Draymond Green Show. Bill, buy or sell, you agree with Draymond?
All right, I want to frame this properly. Buy or sell he can be, buy or sell he will be. I think those are vastly different things. Which one do you want an answer to?
Let's go with buy or sell he can be.
Buy.
Buy.
Do you know what I wonder if Draymond was thinking about this, and I wonder if I should be asking scouts and GMs about this who have scouted Bronny. Do you know what I think, based on what Draymond said, an interesting comp is? Gary Payton II. GP2 the Mitten. Famous Hall of Fame dad. Same name. A lot of pressure. The thing is, GP2 did 2 years at Oregon State. That extra year was significant. It wasn't a lock that he was going to make it, right? So I think Draymond's right. There's a model there. But that model is not if it was that easy, all the guys that fit that profile would do it. And if you're going to have to be a three-point shooter and a defensive specialist, if you're a 3-and-D guy, you know what would be really helpful? Growing into your body and learning your game and those aspects of your game and sharpening that against college competition. Because if you're going to have to make it as a three-point shooter and a defensive guy, and your name is Bronny James, and every NBA player on earth is going to want to humiliate you because of who your dad is, guess what? They're going to be in your mug when you're shooting, and they're going to make it really – they're not going to want you to stop them. And they're grown men, and you're still – there's a lot of factors here that I think we've discussed that set them up to fail. Let me say this, though, because I'm skeptical, and I've told you, and it's everywhere now. I mean, the experts are doing it, but I'm in a position to be able to really talk about this because people that come to scout Bronny James, geography lesson, Tom, come to L.A. And I am just humble bragging all the way. And so, like, I go to sources all the time. It's a pain in the ass. Fly into whatever city to have one coffee with a guy. Do it all the time. What I've realized is when they fly here, we can hang out. And if I just say, when you come to see Bronny, they'll tell me and we can get dinner. And you know what I've been doing? I schedule those dinners after they see Bronny to ask them about it. And nobody thinks he's ready. He's not ready. He shouldn't be in the draft this year. And that is the main takeaway.
All right, Bill, let's stay in the NBA here. Toronto's Jonte Porter has been inactive since March 23rd as an investigation continues into irregularities in prop betting. Now, Commissioner Adam Silver had this to say yesterday, quote, "It's a cardinal sin what he's accused of in the NBA, and the ultimate extreme option I have is to ban him from the game," end quote. Bill, buy or sell Jonte Porter ever playing in the NBA again?
So, innocent until proven guilty. They're going to, and that's a criminal thing, not a work thing. They got to prove it. I hope it's not true. It's a big accusation to make if it's not true. Buy that I think that's the likely outcome.
Buy.
If you presume that they're going to conclude that this happened or might have happened. And by the way, gosh, I got to stop. It's a thing now. I said this the minute the story happened. I said he'll probably never play again.
All right, Bill.
I don't know where I said that. Here or beyond the arc. Listen, subscribe, like. Yeah. We're not doing it live anymore, though, which is so nice. So we can have more flexibility in our taping times because it turns out it's hard to corral three different people's schedules.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
All right, Bill, let's get to some baseball here. Our Kansas City Royals. Yes, I said our Kansas City Royals.
Ours. We're in it together.
Yeah. I
lived there. I covered that team.
We both picked them to make the playoffs. I picked them to win the division. You as a wild card, one of the 87 wild card teams.
Buy or sell, you want to hear a moment of shame of mine after this connected to the Royals.
Buy.
Yeah, you do your question first.
All right, Bill. The Royals have the longest current win streak in the majors, 6 games. So I ask you, buy or sell, a win streak has to hit at least 10 games in baseball to warrant some attention.
I'm sorry. You're asking me if a hit streak has to...
No. I know you love streaks. Not a hit streak, though.
Sorry. I zoned out on you. I was thinking about my shame.
Buy or sell, a win streak has to hit at least 10 games in baseball to warrant any attention.
No, sell.
Sell.
You get to 6, and I'm in. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm not a Royals fan. But in the year the Royals made and won the World Series, I had covered the Royals on and off at the Kansas City Star. I'd gone to spring training. I liked Dayton Moore. Right? I knew him. My kids were born there. My daughter was really into it. So I was cheering and tweeting. And I got, truth be told, I got really drunk one night. It was just, Royals! And everyone was like, yeah! And then when, like, a few years later, the Cubs won, and I was tweeting about that, people that I know got really mad at me. Like, I thought you were a Royals fan. Oh, no, I lived there and I was drunk. That was cool. Like, whatever, man. And that's it. People got really mad.
Yeah, you make friends wherever you go.
People got real. You know what it is? It was like being you with a Miami fan or being Stu.
That didn't feel warranted.
You didn't?
That was out of left field.
It was?
I felt like it.
I just mean, like, I know what it felt like for a moment to be a bandwagon, to be like, be someone who only roots for teams because they like the color of their sweater.
Speaking of teams you root for, buy or sell Barcelona matches are more stressful than enjoyable for you at this point.
I mean, sell after yesterday's win, baby.
Sell.
It depends on the outcome. 3-2, let's go. How dare you, Dembele? That was awesome. That was awesome. Let me ask you a question. And this is a hypothetical philosophizer-y question, okay? It's not a real question, Tom. But if you happen to have another job after this job, and it's a pretty busy time, but you work all the time, and you never say no, and you're basically working from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m., and I'm not complaining, it's fine. Buy or sell, it is okay to maybe say you're not available during Barcelona matches if you don't specify why.
Sell.
It's not okay?
No, man, no.
Well, good, because no. I would never do that.
Good, I'm glad.
Barca!
You actually texted me after the game yesterday. That's how excited you were.
Pat Boyle, who filled in for you once and then ruined a Barcelona match for me, wrote me, are you watching, before it started, or will there be spoilers? I was so mad at him that the next time he came on, I would think I was really mean for 2 hours.
You mean? No,
yeah.
No.
Hey, welcome to the show. Bill Ryder, Pat Boyle here, who tells kids what their Christmas presents are before they can open them. What's up? I like Pat, though.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Hard to tell.
I didn't like that particular interaction with Pat. Keep your score ruining to yourself, Boyle, but I like the guy a ton. Are we done? Is that the segment?
That's all I got for you today.
By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've got some real personal things going on next week. Tuesday, probably in the 11:30 to 2:30 range. Real chance I'm not going to be available for you for anything you need.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
Something just popped up.
I can't talk about personal stuff. Barca! All right. Let's catch you up on what's going on in this crazy NBA world after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. I'm Bill Ryder. I'm good at radio question mark. This portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. Let me pull back the curtain for you wherever you're listening. I'm in L.A., Tom's in New York. We're on Skype together often in this segment because I like to let the music stretch out and Tom doesn't. I will let it stretch out, and he gets uncomfortable. And sometimes I have a mute button, right? Microphone, I can turn my microphone off. I'll turn my microphone off but start talking to pretend that it's broken, to give him a moment of panic, because I'm a really swell dude. Every day is April Fool's Day if you're working with me. And just now I did that, but not on purpose. I just thought I was talking. And in the same just defeated, I don't want to hate you, but you deserved it, why are you like Aaron Rodgers' sort of tone of voice that Tom used? He goes, are you muted or are you just messing with me? But in this case, Tom, I'm just not good at radio.
Yeah, we could pull back the curtain even more. I had done a bad job doing my job, so I actually deserved this one. So
no.
I was unsure. I was unsure if you were messing with me or not. So I let it go a little longer than I normally would.
No, Tommy. No, don't. No, you're great. You, sir, are great. This is a really interesting saga going on with the Timberwolves. If you haven't followed this, basically, the owner of the Timberwolves, who is not, how do I say this nicely, who's not regarded as the world's biggest spender in his time running the Timberwolves. Now, the counter-argument would be, why would you spend money on a team so bad? And the counter-argument to that would be, well, they're bad because you're the owner and or you don't spend money. All right. He had an agreement in place, a multi-step process to sell to a guy named Mark Lohr and a guy you may have heard named Alex Rodriguez. Quick pause. Can you imagine losing J-Lo and the Timberwolves in the same five-year cycle? That deal, they've already put a bunch of money forward. The final step that would have made them the controlling owners was blocked by the current owner, and that gentleman basically claims and said that they missed, they didn't cross some T's or dot some I's or do. It's going to go to a legal reality. It's going to go to a legal fight. We don't know who's going to own the team. And the latest move, the situation from the perspective of the reporting of Adrian Wojnarowski, is that the current ownership group run by Mr. Taylor had skepticism because the plan that was put forward by Lauren Rodriguez would have cut a whole bunch of the money back to a certain amount that if you get into the weeds means they would have had to gut a roster that right now is not a top because they lost to Denver last night, but second in the Western Conference and has a really, really bright future. And by the way, it begs a lot of questions, one of which is, wait, I thought they just missed a bunch of stuff. How could you see something and decide you don't want to sell and then they just coincidentally messed it up? That was my first thought, is, okay, that makes it sound like your claim is kind of BS. But maybe it's not. I don't know. Here's the other thing, and this is the second time that I've talked about Woj's business, which he doesn't like, and it's the second time I'm going to have to respectfully say too bad to a guy that I like and consider a friend and respect a lot. But Glenn Taylor clearly leaked the information to Adrian Wojnarowski, right? Alex Rodriguez and or Mark Lohr are not going to leak stuff to Woj that make them look bad. It doesn't work that way. And Adrian Wojnarowski trades in information, and he is as good as he is at what he does. He's so good at it. He's the best at it. He's the best at it, by the way, in any sport. He's better than Schefter. He's better than anybody because he is completely clued in, plugged in with agents and owners. You don't do that by making them angry. You do that by playing the game, and we all have to do it. I have to do it. Not at the level he does because I'm not as good at that as he is. No one is, clearly. But my point is I would take that report with a grain of salt. I would be very – if you're Adrian Wojnarowski and you don't know who the owners are going to be, you've got to make sure you're in with both if you want to keep breaking news on the Timberwolves, especially when they fire GMs. When GMs get fired, do you know who fires them? Owners do. So maybe you can rely on the agent of the GM. This is how this works. So just as the conversation sort of goes to, oh, my God, they were going to gut this team. They'd have to get rid of everybody. And when Anthony Edwards gets all NBA and they have to go into the apron and they're going to cut it below the apron, and that means they're going to have to get rid of tons of people. Maybe Cat has to go, or they'll have Cat and they'll have Amp. They'll have to get rid of everybody else, and there'll be a bunch of minimum guys on rookie deals. They're going to suck. They're going to be the Suns with only two stars. Maybe that's what the current owner, who's never spent any money, and it would be shocking if he's had this change of heart, told you. Maybe that's just what he wants you to believe. It's also worth noting, I think it's interesting, last night they played the Nuggets. The Nuggets don't get enough credit for this. They built that team with the rarest commodity in professional sports, patience. And the Kroenke family, say what you want about them, they are professional sports owners. They were patient in their processes. They were patient in not firing Michael Malone. They drafted MPJ late in a draft and then took a long time to let Malone sort of build him up, didn't play him right away all the time. They were patient with Jamal Murray. They were patient with this guy named Jokic. They didn't succeed for a long time despite Jokic winning MVPs. They didn't but Budenholzer got fired after winning a championship in Milwaukee. The Timberwolves have never practiced that patience. And the idea that all of a sudden Taylor is pretending that he's got a Denver model, well, I just want to protect the team, he's never done that. That's never been the Timberwolves. Let's bring in D'Lo. Let's bring in Jimmy. Let's try this coach. Let's try this coach. Let's try this GM. Place is going to be a mess. Keep an eye on it. Fun show today, Tom. It was yummy.
Yummy. Yummy.
All right, I'm Bill Ryder. Thanks for listening. This is CBS Sports Radio. See you tomorrow.
Deep and rich and yummy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.